who you are. So we pray for all of the ones who have yet to see fit to love us, see fit to have a relationship with us. Lord, truly, good God, we are blessed to be known by you. So, Father, we pray that you would know such a wonderful, awesome, good God, a God who loves us so much that he would send his Son to die for us, that we might be with you in eternity, in your kingdom, forever. We love you as we pray in that precious Son. Well, good morning. So glad that you are here. We had a very good start to the new year. Happy New Year. Thanks, Sam. You were preaching last week. I really appreciate that. I'm so excited for today. We're kicking off with a sermon series. If you have a Bible, please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. We'll be talking about this theme called the blessed life for several weeks. But first, I turn to Ephesians 1. It says this: may God be gracious to us and bless us. We're asking the question, okay, God.
Thank you. shining upon you, because the time in our life, be honest, is if we compare ourselves to others, if we're jealous of what they have and what they don't have. If we're not careful, this is terrible. So God, who loves God in our lives, God, you don't love as much as you love them. The life I dream. Well, you know, I've been trying to just doesn't feel less. And maybe for you, first time you kind of have this conversation internally. All the confusion. I want all of us to have a what it truly means to have a blessed life. Here is your mindset. Every one of you this morning can receive a blessed life. Let's look about this. Everyone, we're looking at different verses. It's on the screen if you don't have a copy of scriptures. Paul, apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's stop right there real quick before we read verse 3. Let me just share with you the context. Or any time you study the Word of God, not just to give things out of context. Here is Paul. That's verse 4. Paul, a lot of the New Testament. He's writing what is called one of the prison epistles here. Church of Ephesus. Now we know Paul visited him. It's interesting, a lot of theologians, scholars have, as one of the reasons, much theology on salvation. Verse 3. Blessed be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Paul, a writer, specifically the Church of Ephesus, start off by saying, times, God blesses us, and he's explaining what that blessing is. But what I want to do really to focus on this one verse, focus on this verse, and teach you what it really means to live a blessed life. The first question I ask in our Bible study this morning is this question: who are the blessed of us? I don't get that question because every time I see someone says God bless them, right? Analogies. Analogy. Says, look what the text says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who has blessed us. Most of us in this room, whether you've been to church or not, know anything about the Bible or not, we understand, listen carefully, that all blessing comes from God. We allow someone else to cook up a dinner. What you have, it can't come out. come with anything, just managers of what God has given us. But a perfect gift from God. It's 419. The church is nobody. But all of your needs according to his riches. You know that God is rich in all. And God has promised by many others and love. Matter of fact, we're going to spend time in this passage in weeks to come. But this particular, oh my goodness, it's so good. It says, God is able to bless you abundantly. God is able to bless you abundantly, ready for this? In all things, at all times, okay. I just want you to think about this. Like God is saying, hey, listen, I have everything, and I'm willing, God is saying, to bless you with everything, but I need as much to the back of your, to the point that you're satisfied. Are you okay with that, my dear? Right? And they're like, that's awesome, right? Who blessed him? He's 20, because this is incredible, because after God gives his all things for a whole time, all that we need, when we think God can't do anything anymore, when we don't even ask for what he gives, he then gives us more. It's incredible. God is constantly who blesses. God is the one his love. One of the things that happens to be a family. This is my oldest is 21 and my youngest is 5. That all of us can agree on is are like one of the ways that we drive our kids to put up with whatever movies on the screen and go up and say, okay, we're going to go to the store and we're going to pick up candy, right? Dr. Candy, I have no idea what to pick up. Typically, on movies, is there candy? And it's like, you know what? I don't like the movie that was chosen, but I like the candy I chose. I'm not going to give it to your own candy, right? One of my kids came down and said, a mint? I never get offered anything. They're like, maybe my recipe. Sure, I'll take a mint. And he's like, anyone else want any spoon or broth? And I was like, well, Luke, where are you? God, this unlimited supply. Boom. You got one of those. Hey, anybody else wants to be like Luke? Man, you are awesome. This is incredible, right? But the fact is, he's willing to give away so much. Because it represents God's blessings, you and I. How do I tell you that? Because there's not a person here, whether you believe in God or not, that doesn't want God to bless them. Even people who don't believe in God, in the time of crisis, what do? They cry out to God. They want what God offers, whether it's health or wealth or a good life, whatever that might be in their definition. Blessed life out there. I want that. How do you get up? What do I have to do? Somebody's telling me the secret. To bless God. I don't know this blessed life. There's a couple of misconceptions that I want to kind of scrub. as well. The reason you don't have a blessed life is don't claim it. He'll get it. Because the Bible says, Joseph. put in many colors, and they were like, man, Joseph is blessed. He's dad's favorite. But then the brothers betray him, strip him, throw him in a pit. He ends up in a house, and he ends up in a prison. He's forgotten in prison. And we're thinking, man, the whole time Joseph lived right at the pen. Like, his life was blessed. We know God put it all together within that moment. And that moment, what an example. I mean, right? What happened to him? Ultimate example? Us. He's living right now. On the cross. My point is this. God hurts you when you obey him. But he doesn't always do it. Talk more about the trials you've been through me.
Says, I want to give you something, a life that never
on earth, but for all of eternity.
What?
This brand new. I think there was like 15 or 16 of us, and we were at my house one night for dinner, we were at my sister's house one night for dinner, and when you have that many boys together, and teenagers together, and that whole particular thing, we go through a lot of food. I mean, a lot of food, right? Can you relate to that? You know, you were the host, assumption, or you went to someone else's house and you ate a lot of food, it was awesome, right? But one of the things having teenagers, and so those of you who have teenagers or who have raised teenagers, those of you who have little ones, they do parents, but the consumption of milk is just out of this world. It's crazy. It itself in the long run. I promise you. Like, there's never a time that you have 2 gallons of milk and some actually want to draw out the second refrigerator. We have a problem in our home, I get it. But the bottom line is, we go through this milk, and it's not the actual picture, but our fridge looks a lot like this. My sister's house, my dad is better than my actual milk. Go for it, have some milk. And so he goes in there, and he looks between these two jars, and there's one jar that has the middle of the bottle. And then there's another jug that's full. You know what your kids do. They ignore that little. And they open up the mirror. You know what your mom does? Give it to you, takes it out little and pours it in the mirror. Just let you know. And my dad goes in and he goes, hey, you know what? I'll just drink the leftover milk. And we're like, no, man, don't drink that. It's expired. You know, you look at the date, he's like, yeah, it's just a day old. It's not going to explode in it. I'll just drink that. And I'm like, well, why? Why would you drink that when there's something else better? Thinking that the best he has to offer us is an earthly blessing, and we're missing that the true blessing is something much, much earthly blessing. Because here's the thing. God does bless us on this earth. But it's not. So what is the blessing finding for you? So your is this is what pains and bring you the next. The blessing is a perfect spiritual state of God's favor. Learn anything from the book of Job? Learn anything from the examples of Scripture? Pretty blessed in one moment, and the next moment it can be gone. Right? Perfect God is God's favor has left me with him. You and I, this is what? Perfect of his favor continually rests on me. On that, sign me up for this question. How do I get this question? I'm late towards the car being pushed up the hill than I can of the new yard or whatever was up there. I'm late more to the family fighting than I can the family holding hands. So you're telling me that there is a blessing for my life today that far exceeds earth of this world can offer me? I want that. How do I get it? Chapter 1, verse 3 tells us God loves us with one of every spiritual blessing we have. Only in Christ. It's only in Christ. Work for it. You can't manipulate God for it. Church enough for it, you can put that money in the offering plate for it, and all we went. No blessing in heavenly realms that's available to you and I. Only Christ. I don't have the street. signs up there, which look at your Bible in verse 4, because what I love about this is Paul builds the case in verse 3, and believe it or not, he explains our bless in verses 4 through 14. Now, and all of this theology, but Paul here is saying, let me let you know a little secret. If you want to know how to bless the simple answer is in Christ, but if you want to know more, in Christ, all these things have happened. So let's read about it. Verse 4. We're talking about Christ. For he chose us in him of the world to be holy. For God is the sonship of your Jesus Christ, born of his pleasure and will, to bring him his glorious grace, which is in us in one body. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Come to us. According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. Time has reached their fulfillment to bring you all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. And we were also having been destined according to the plan of him for everything, in conformity to the purpose of his will, in order that we who are the first to be put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. Look at verse 13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, a promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possessions, the praise of his glory. Church, that, my friends, is an incredible blessing. And if I had the time, I could spend literally 2 months spelling out this deep theological truth, but let me summarize it for you in 2 sentences. Salvation from the past to the present to the future. And salvation involves God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Look on the screen. Paul, are you kidding me? Do you realize how you're blessed? I'll tell you how you're blessed. You, my friends, were in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. I don't even know how to explain that. Think about that. God was before the foundation of the earth. Are you kidding me?
I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit.
so I think it summarizes that. Because he freely gives us all the riches of God's grace. What are the riches of God's grace? My life. Oh, my friend. You who are in Christ. The enemy of God, listen carefully, the enemy of God, Satan himself, will not be able to get their minds off of Jesus. That's why he said, I don't want the whole world to get it for me. I don't want to change the wrong things in life and forfeit my soul. No, listen carefully. To some of you, he's given a lot. You know why? There's a lot required from you. On his earth is to come spiritually. Don't shoot me out. The first service. This is kind of like their basketball fan. The game
talking about what I have this now.
with them. How many people who are rich aren't happy when they learn one thing about their riches? It doesn't satisfy. So time is blessed is not what I have. It's a new one. Stop thinking that if I just have this, I'm just getting this, then I'll be happy. No. True joy comes from one person. And his name is Jesus. True blessed life is not the gift that I want, but it's the gift I've already received. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've received your greatest gift. That's when you receive that you were every spiritual blessing. There's nothing else that they need. So you learn how to go out on Him. I would say, Jesus, I'll follow you if you make my relationships right, if you make my things work out. And if He doesn't make those things work out, the reason we abandon Jesus is because He gave us the gifts that we wanted Him to give us, because we define it for God. Hey, God, I'll make a bargain with you, I'll make a deal with you. If you do this in my life, then I'll follow you. No, God said, listen, you're going to learn at some point that I am the true reward for your life. Because all of the blessing expires. So whatever you're asking for, whatever gift you're asking for, that will expire. If I am the gift, I'll never expire, and I'll walk with you every day of your life. You see, the truth of my life is God's presence. His presence. The Holy Spirit of God above, that's the true gift. That's the blessed life. And so when you look at your social media and your friends are bragging about what they have and what they don't have, you're feeling sorry for yourself. You remind yourself, hey, you know what? I have something better. And the world doesn't put a higher premium on Jesus, but you know what? My faith does, and the Word of God does. And I know that this life for God is so small compared to eternity, so I'm going to live for what really matters, and I'm going to start living this blessed life that I have. Amen. And so I just want you just to close your eyes here. Well, I want to ask you a couple of reflections. I realize that there might be a person here that no one looking. I realize that there's a person here, or maybe a person's here who perhaps don't know Jesus as your Savior. And although you need to come to church, or perhaps you've been reading your Bible, you've never put your to Jesus. And perhaps you're here this morning and you're saying, you know what, my life is blessed from an earthly perspective, but I can honestly say I don't know if it's blessed from a spiritual perspective. I can't recall a time of putting my trust and faith in Jesus. And the Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's that simple. It's childlike faith. It's faith that says, Jesus, I want what you're offering. I want the gift of eternal life. And I'm going to confess my sins, and I'm going to turn from my sins, and I'm going to follow you. And the Bible says that if you believe in your heart that not only God died on the cross for you, but raised from the dead, you will be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. I can't make this decision for you. You have to make it for yourself. So perhaps that's you. Do you know what? Believing is God is a way to start a relationship. And if you put your faith in God, you'll start over. You'll have a new start, a new spiritual start. So that you life is great. Again, I can't do it for you, but if you pray to God and meet it in your heart, you put your faith in who will hear you, and better yet, he'll receive you. So that's you. I encourage you to pray something like this. Again, it hasn't been your word, I'm just guiding you, I'm not doing it for you, but if you pray something like this, Lord, I know that I'm in desperate need of a Savior, because I'm in need of a sinner. Lord, I believe God for me. Well, thank you that you resurrected God. I want that eternal life that you offer. That simple. God heard you. receive you. And he'll give you this blessed life that he's been talking about here in the book of Ephesians. And so, if you've made that decision, I encourage you to see me afterwards. I want to congratulate you and celebrate that with you. Or better yet, there's a connection card inside the bulletin that if you check that box on the back that says, I want to start a relationship with Jesus, if you give your name and contact information, I'll reach out to you just to congratulate you. And thank you for making the best decision you ever made. Father, you know every heart here this morning. But I pray our name Jesus Christ. Because Lord, that's when our lives are blessed. For all of eternity. But there's no doubt, there's a lot of my friends here, including myself, that we go through trials from time to time, but the beauty of salvation is with us, blessing of life. And you are with us. For me. What's our response? I pray. I want you to think about this. And there's a verse that you're going to put on the screen, but there's a verse in Psalms 116 that says, what shall I do, or what shall I render to the Lord for his goodness to me? The psalmist has this epiphany, and he's pondering all the ways that God has been good to him, and it's almost like what we're doing this morning, you know, where we think to ourselves, hey, you know, I thought God would be good to me and he helped me in this area of earthly life, and then we have this realization, wait a minute, God's giving me something even better than that, he's giving me this spiritual blessing, and so the psalmist just writes down, oh my goodness, what should I do? How do I respond to this beautiful life that God has given? And I think it starts for you and I in our hearts, because here's what we're going to learn starting next week. The blessed life. Thank you.